We have a question before us tonight, and I'll go ahead and just present the question. Some of you may think, well, I've never heard this one before. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but here's the question. If Christ died on Friday, how can there be 3 days and three nights before he arose on Sunday? Well, that comes from a passage of Scripture that we find in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, in which Jesus makes a statement after referring to the sign of Jonah. He says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, let me just go ahead and say that this is something that when I was a freshman in college, taking a class called Harmony of the Gospels, I remember the teacher of that class saying, well, the way we reconcile that, because if we say he was crucified Friday afternoon, then he died Friday afternoon. The Jews counted a part of a day as a whole day. So Friday counts as one day. Saturday would count as day two, which would have been the Sabbath day. And then Sunday would count as day three. Okay. How do you get 3 days and three nights? That is a question that we do need to contemplate and that we want to examine tonight. How do you get 3 days and three nights out of that? There are several passages that tell us throughout the Gospels that Jesus was to be resurrected on the third day. One of those is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, where Jesus begins to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Another one, Matthew 17, verse 23, tells us they will kill him and he will be raised on the third day. Of course, he says they're deeply grieved. There are several others, and I'm just going to quickly walk through them. Matthew 20, verse 19, he talks about how he would be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock and scourge him and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up. Matthew 27, verse 63, when the chief priests go to Pilate to try to get someone to help guard the tomb, there's a statement, after 3 days, they say, we remember him saying, after 3 days, I will rise again. And then Mark records those statements for us too. Mark 9, verse 31, Mark 10, verse 34, and then Luke does as well, and I'll just run through those. Luke 9, verse 22, Luke 18, verse 33, and then the last two, Luke chapter 24, verse 7, and then the last one, Luke 24, verse 21, this is where he is on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, two of the disciples, and they remember what he had said. We are hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, but indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. So, you've got that idea of 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. Now, why do we place Jesus' crucifixion on Friday? Why is that traditionally the day that's been selected? It is because of these two passages right here. The Roman Church, many centuries ago, took these two passages and based upon them said he was crucified on a Friday because when evening had already come, because it was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. Well, we understand that the Sabbath day is Saturday. Now, let me say this. For Jews, evening and morning makes a day. If you go to Jerusalem today, you will find that if you go over there on Friday afternoon, at Friday, 6 p.m., the shops close down. And they do not reopen. That is those that are run by Jews. I know because Ray gave me a look. Those that are run by Jewish individuals close down 6 p.m. Friday afternoon. They do not reopen until 6 p.m. Saturday evening. That's their Sabbath day, the evening and the morning. Friday noon or Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. So their argument is it is the day before the Sabbath. That means it had to be Friday because the Sabbath started Friday night, 6 p.m. John makes a statement, then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So even John makes a statement, it was going to be a Sabbath. But John throws something in. He uses another term, high day or high Sabbath. What is meant by that term? And you see, this is one of the things that we've got to try to determine tonight. It is to consider the question of what did John mean by the term high day or high Sabbath. Let me first of all say that I think all of us understand that there is a Sabbath that Jews always recognize, that we understand. It is the seventh day Sabbath. God made the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. And God commanded that His people, Israel, were to do the same thing. In Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 1, we have the law of the Sabbath. It says that God speaks to Moses and says to Moses, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations or holy assemblies, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there's a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings." So, according to the law of Moses, starting at Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, what we call Friday Saturday, that's actually their Saturday. That's their Sabbath day. Saturday for them starts 6 p.m. on our Friday. You see, we function on what's called Roman time. We don't function on their time schedule. Our Friday goes from midnight Thursday to midnight Saturday. And actually, they've already started their Saturday. It started at 6 p.m. on our Friday. For them right now, it is actually Monday. Their Monday started at 6 p.m. And it will run till 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. And their Tuesday will start at 6 p.m. when it's our Monday. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you too much, but that's just the way their days work. Now, that being said, there were other Sabbath observances, not the seventh day observance. These were special days that God had set aside that the children of Israel were to rest. It was to be a day of what He calls holy convocation, assemblies. Notice, as we looked at Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 1, it says, the Lord's appointed times are these. And He begins to label those, name those. Well, if you pick up in verse 4, He goes on to say, these are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So at twilight, 6 p.m., the Passover begins. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there's a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And He goes on to say, on the first day you shall have, that is on the 14th day, and for your information, that day, that month is called Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. So, the first day of the Passover celebration was a Sabbath day. The last day of the Passover celebration, 7 days later, was a Sabbath day, even though it did not fall on the seventh day of the week. Okay? Now, that being said, and let me just throw out one other, Exodus 12, verse 16, He says, on the first day, you shall have a holy assembly. This is the Passover He's talking about. And another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. Now, you may remember that on the seventh day Sabbath, there's one thing that differs from these Sabbaths. And that is that they could not prepare meals on the Sabbath day. That meal had to be prepared on the day before, and then it could be eaten on the Sabbath day, but they could not prepare food on the Sabbath day. So, we've got two types of Sabbaths. We've got the Sabbath that falls on the seventh day, Friday night, 6 p.m., to our Saturday, 6 p.m. That's their Sabbath day, their day of rest. But there are other Sabbaths also. These are included, as we see here, in the Passover celebration. the first day, which is when the Paschal lamb is to be killed, and they are to eat of it, and the seventh day. Okay? Now, here's the question. What is meant by John's high Sabbath? There are three basic explanations for that term. One is that it was just the Sabbath of a feast week. The fact that this was Passover week, and the argument is that it fell on Saturday, or that it, because it was Passover week, that Saturday was a high day. That's one explanation. Another is that it was both a seventh-day Sabbath and a Passover Sabbath. Well, that doesn't make... And that there again, if that's the case, then what we're saying is that from Friday at 6 to Saturday at 6, this day would have been, because it's both seventh-day Sabbath and Passover Sabbath, all in the same day, it would be a high Sabbath. The third explanation is that high Sabbath is actually used to designate a time when you have two Sabbaths back-to-back, which basically gives you a 48-hour Sabbath. That would mean that the Passover actually started Thursday evening, our Thursday evening at 6 p.m. and ran through Friday evening at 6 p.m. and then the seventh-day Sabbath starts Friday evening at 6 p.m. and runs through Saturday until 6 p.m. Okay? Now, that kind of touches on that. And I want you to understand that depending on when Jesus was Jesus was crucified hinges on three separate things. One is what we're seeing here. The fact that the day that was to come was called a high Sabbath day. What is meant by that? If this is true, then it would mean that the high Sabbath day would have actually started on Thursday at 6 p.m. and run through till Friday at 6 p.m. and then their regular Sabbath would have started. Okay? Now, during Jesus' time, and here's another thing that we need to point out. When was the original Passover instituted, and when was the Passover celebrated in Jesus' time? That's another issue. Originally, the Passover was instituted for the 14th of Nisan, as we've already seen in Exodus chapter 12. You can go back to Exodus 12, read verses 1 through 13. There are several other passages that also deal with Sabbaths, but here's some things. Basically, here's it in a nutshell. It took place on the 14th of Nisan, okay? The first month of the Jewish year. And that month began with their exodus from Egypt, okay? On that month, according to Exodus 12, on the 10th of that month, they were to select a lamb that was to become the Passover lamb. On the 14th of that month, at twilight, and you'll notice that's what we've got, literally it means between the two evenings. And typically that was the time between sunset and the appearance of the first three stars. That lamb was sacrificed, and they were to roast it and to eat it, dressed as if they were prepared to leave in haste. Now that was the way the law had originally established it. As you read through the Old Testament, you find, whether you go to the days of Hezekiah, Josiah, there were different times in which we read of a recorded keeping of the Sabbath, and it changed a little bit over time. But by Jesus' day, we find that they were actually keeping the Sabbath on a different day, or it seems to be that way. Now, Josephus is a Jewish historian. He lived right at the time of the fall of Jerusalem, probably born somewhere early part of the century, maybe even right around the time that Jesus was crucified, possibly before that. But he wrote two works. One is called Histories of the Jews. The other is called Wars, Jewish Wars. And in his works called Jewish Wars, he makes this statement. He says, these high priests, upon coming of their feast, which is called the Passover, when they slay their sacrifices from the 9th to the 11th hour, that is 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. our time, but so that a company not less than 10 belonging to each sacrifice, and it goes on. But here is what I want you to understand. And let me just add one more slide to that. To help us better understand what he's saying. This is from another work, his other work called Antiquities of the Jews. And he says, as the Feast of Unleavened Bread was at hand in the first month, which according to the Macedonians is called Xanthicus, but according to us, Nisan. All the people ran together out of the villages to the city, celebrated the festival, having purified themselves with their wives and children according to the law of their country. And they offered the sacrifice, which was called the Passover, on the 14th day of the same month, and feasted 7 days. Now, when you put these two together, here's what you have to recognize. If the Passover lamb was sacrificed between 3 and 5 p.m., they had departed from the original law. Because the original law said it was to be sacrificed at twilight, which would be right around 6 p.m. on as the 14th begins, just as the 14th begins. To sacrifice between 3 and 5 p.m. would have placed it the next day, or the next part of that 24-hour day, just before the 14th is ending, going into the 15th. Okay? So here's the thing. If that is true, then the Jews had moved from sacrificing their animals, from slaughtering the animals at twilight on Thursday, to our Thursday evening, to 3 to 5 p.m. on Friday afternoon. Okay? Or actually 3 to 5 p.m. the week before, the day before. I don't want to get you confused because I'm fixing to get confused trying to say all this. It would back it up. It would actually move them down a day later. They would have done it later than what the Jews would have done it. They would have actually done it going into the 15th instead of going into the 14th. Now, how do we put all that together? I'm going to share with you a timetable. And let me just say, this question was submitted by somebody in this congregation that has read this book right here. It's by one of our brethren, Wayne D. Leeper. He is a member of the church in Lebanon, Tennessee. It's called Prelude to Glory. He's been teaching a class on Harmony of the Gospels for several years there. He is actually an accountant, but has written this text, and it's rather insightful. It will give you some reasons to stop and back up and look at Scripture and re-examine Scripture. But basically, here's what I'm saying. If we go with what we find Scripture teaching and trying to put all this together, what happens is this. Here's the timetable. Jesus and his disciples actually come into Jerusalem Wednesday afternoon sometime in the afternoon. And what Jesus does is, as he and his disciples arrive outside Jerusalem, he sends Peter and John into the city to prepare the Passover meal. Okay? Now, at twilight on the 14th of Nisan, which would be Wednesday, 6 p.m., the beginning of their Thursday, they prepare the Passover lamb. And let me just say, these times are speculative times. Do not look at these times and say, oh, that's when it was done. It was done at 8 p.m. It was done at 12:15. I'm just throwing you some things that he has in his book, and he is just kind of trying to put together a time frame based upon how long it would take to travel back and forth to different parts of the city. But here's kind of the way it would play out. Jesus eats the Passover meal that evening, which would be Wednesday evening. Sometime after our midnight, but still in their Thursday, Jesus' disciples are in Galilee or Gethsemane, and Judas arrives with the soldiers to take him into custody. They are taken still, this is still their 14th of Nisan, their Thursday, still our Wednesday, however, that it is actually our Thursday now. I'm sorry, I'm struggling with this. Because it's hard to keep straight. It really is. Until you sit down and try to draw it out on paper. Sometime early that morning, Jesus is taken before Annas. And then from there, he's taken to Caiaphas. And then early that morning, which is still the 14th of Nisan, by the way, he is taken to the Sanhedrin. And then, very early, just before sunrise, he's taken and tried by Pilate. He's sent from Pilate to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. And finally, after the scourging and the other things that happened, by 9 a.m. that morning, he is placed upon the cross. Okay? Now, this would be 14th of Nisan, but it's our Thursday morning. Okay? By 12 p.m., noon, darkness covers the land. We know that happens. These are things from Scripture. By 3 p.m., I've got down here, Jesus dies on the cross. We know that happens too. Ninth hour, he gave up the ghost. That is 3 p.m. That is also the time, according to Josephus, that the Jews started slaughtering the lambs from 3 to 5 p.m. for the Passover, going into the 15th of Nisan. That is very interesting if you think about it. What is Jesus? He is our Passover lamb. When did he die? He died at 3 p.m. When did they start sacrificing, or when did they start slaughtering their paschal lambs now? According to Josephus, they started at 3 p.m. He dies as the paschal lambs, the Passover lambs, are starting to be slaughtered. Folks, there's a lot to that. At that same time, as he dies on the cross, there are some other things that happened. The temple veil is rent from top to bottom, which is also symbolic because man did not do it. It had to be done by the hand of God. At the same time, individuals coming out of the tombs, dead people are rising and walking throughout the city and are seen by several. Sometime after that, Joseph of Arimathea asked for Jesus' body. He goes before Pilate, requests permission to take the body down from the cross and prepare it for burial. Pilate gives him permission. The body is removed. And sometime before the end of the day, because remember what they said, they wanted to the speed up the deaths because the next day was a high Sabbath. And so before that day begins, which would be our Thursday evening, 6 p.m., going into their Friday, the body is placed in the tomb. That is if High Sabbath took place from our Thursday, 6 p.m., to their Friday, 6 p.m. Friday, starting our Thursday at 6 p.m. and going till their Friday at 6 p.m., the Passover Sabbath begins. Not the regular seventh-day Sabbath, Passover Sabbath. That would have continued until Friday night, our 6 p.m. At Friday night, 6 p.m., their Saturday, seventh-day Sabbath begins. It runs through until Saturday evening, 6 p.m. At that time, Sunday begins, okay? The seventh-day Sabbath has ended. It's the first day of the week, about sometime that morning, just before daybreak or thereabouts, the three women arrive at the tomb and it is found empty. Okay. And here's the thing. And I'm going to leave you to make the decision because, to be honest with you, we either have to go by what the Roman Church said years ago or by what some others have argued here. You're either given one of two options. But this one fits what Jesus says better. 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. He would have been in the tomb Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. He would have been in the tomb Thursday by the end of the day, Friday day, Saturday day, and risen early Sunday morning before daybreak. That tends to fit better what Jesus said about the Son of Man being in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Okay? Now, I'm going to leave you to debate with that and try to figure out, do I accept that or do I go back to what I've heard? But it's tradition. Tradition has always said it was a Friday. Some of the arguments that I'm reading and some of the things that I found that Brother Leeper brings out tends to argue more for what we would call a Thursday crucifixion, putting him in the tomb before 6 p.m. on Thursday afternoon or Thursday evening. Okay? But that being said, what I want you to understand as we conclude tonight is this. Jesus is our Passover lamb. If you understand the law of Moses and why God instituted the law or instituted Passover to begin with, you go all the way back to Exodus chapter 12. What you find there is the children of Israel are captive in Egypt. They are slaves. They have begged God to deliver them from their slavery. And God sends a deliverer by the name of Moses. After 9 plagues and Pharaoh's refusal to answer or to respond favorably each time, God finally sends a 10th plague. The 10th plague is to be the death of every firstborn child. The only thing that is to stay that plague from the children of Israel is the fact that they are to take and to acquire a Passover lamb. They are to slaughter it. They are to cook it, roast it. They are to eat it. Nothing is to be left over until the next morning. If it is, it is to be burned. And they are to spread the blood on the doorpost and the lintels of their houses. When the angel of the Lord passes through, wherever that is not found, those are put to death. Wherever it is found, they are spared. They are constantly, down through the years, reminded of the fact that God passed over them. God spared them. Jesus does the same thing for us. It is His blood that covers us. And when God looks at the blood of Christ on us, He passes over us, in a sense of speaking. We do not suffer what is to come to those who have not turned to Jesus Christ. He becomes our Passover lamb. He becomes the one who pays the price for our sins. He is our constant reminder of what has been done for us. It is His blood that cleanses us. And it is only in Him that we find our salvation. And so tonight what I say to you is this. Through all of this, understand that if the blood of Jesus has not cleansed you from your sins, when the day of judgment comes, God will not pass over your sins. God will not ignore your sins. God will not overlook your sins. Your sins will condemn you. And they will keep you from an eternity with God. But if He has been your Savior, if you have been baptized into the name of Christ, put Him on, and been covered in His blood, then you have nothing to fear. Tonight I ask you, do you need to respond to His invitation? Do you need to have your sin taken away? If so, will you not come as together we stand and sing?